well, as her daughter, Denise Greer, to come up here. So please come up, the two of you. Gloria has been here for a few months with her daughter, and Gloria comes to us from Jamaica. And a few weeks ago, Gloria was going to sing a song, and it didn't happen. But you're heading back, right? And you're heading back next week, is that right?
Yes, Pastor.
This week?
Next week.
Next week, okay. And so, Denise, how has it been like to have your mother coming here from Jamaica?
It's been a blessing because I have a little one and my mother is able to stay home with her for me while I work. So I'm truly grateful to the Lord for having her here with me.
Okay, now I think the children already want to take up the offering, but we are actually having an interview here. And Gloria will actually be singing a song for us. So just take your time with the offering. Take your time. Now, in Jamaica, there are hardly any Seventh-day Adventists, right?
There's lots of Seventh-day Adventists.
So you find a church on every corner, just about. Now, I heard that maybe almost a fourth or fifth of the population is Adventist. Maybe not that many, but there are quite many.
Okay. There's a lot of Seventh-days.
Where is the church that you belong to?
Literally Seventh-day Adventists.
Is that in Kingston?
No, in Trelawney.
Okay, so that's out of the capital. Anyway, let's keep Gloria in mind and in heart as she goes back to her country next week. And I know, how many of you have Jamaican background here? There are very few, but there are some of you. All right, but again, a lot of Seventh-day Adventists in her country. And Gloria, I'm going to let you, I would like to hear you sing a song, a cappella. No? We want to try a verse or two?
Yes.
Here we go.
Have you ever feeling down and like you have nowhere to go? If you're feeling like an outcast, as your problem overflow, just remember there is one thing, and all it takes for you to know is that God is the answer, and God answers prayer. He sees every weakness, every trial, every mountain and sea, and he sees every teardrops, and he wiped them for me. I get down on my knees, and I cry, Savior, help me please. One thing for certain, my God answers prayer.
Amen. Amen. What a blessing. Well, we wish you Godspeed. May God bless you.
Thank you. Happy Sabbath.
Happy Sabbath.
Who among you are happy that it's Sabbath? Even the bigger kids. God is good, amen? Okay, so I'll give you a story right now that is related to this church. You know where this church is? No. Okay, can you guess what country? Canada? China? It's in Asia, but it's not in China. Huh? Japan? Oh! Philippines? It's not Philippines. Okay, I'll give you a clue. It's a Muslim country. Indonesia. Oh, it was shared this morning. Our mission story. It's Indonesia, but it's not Indonesia. Indonesia is the biggest Muslim country in the world. Okay, this place is found in Malaysia, in Sabah, Malaysia, and the place is called Kota Kinabalu. Can you say it? Kota Kinabalu. Kota Kinabalu. Okay. So that's where the place is. This church is a Seventh-day Adventist church. Can you see name SDA? And it was situated on a hill, on top of this hill. And it's near the ocean. It's near the banks of that, or the shore of this ocean. So the moment somebody from outside of Kota Kinabalu, when they visit Kota Kinabalu, that was still in the 1980s or 1970s, the first thing that you will see is not a church of a Muslim. The first thing that you will see is a Seventh-day Adventist church. It was up on a hill. Remember, this country is a Muslim country. So the government doesn't want that picture. They don't want that a Seventh-day Adventist church be seen and not a mosque. So you know what they did? They forcibly bought this church from our conference. So the conference could not do anything because this is the rule of the government. So they sold that church to the government. And the first thing that the government did was to assign somebody to take the name out SDA. So this guy took a hammer and a chisel. Anyone here have seen a chisel? Huh? The one that they pound on the wall when they want to take out something. So this guy, and by the way, Kota Kinabalu, it's almost sunny. It's like Kansas in November, but not cold. Kota Kinabalu is even cold, the land below the wind. You know why? Because every time there's a storm, there's a typhoon that passes, it just goes over Kota Kinabalu. And you know where the storm goes? In the Philippines. That's why we are the typhoon capital of the world. So this place is like almost perfect weather almost every day. And it was like a sunny day like this. Blue sky, no clouds, no dark clouds at all. And this guy came with his hammer and his chisel. And he was about to strike the first blow. You know what happened? Lightning struck from heaven. No clouds, no bad weather, perfect day. Lightning struck from heaven, and this guy was like, so he put down his chisel and he put down his hammer and was thinking, whoa, this is quite scary. So he let it rest for a while, like few days or a week, and then he came back, same perfect day, brought his chisel again and his hammer, and he was about to strike the second time that he did it, same thing happened. Lightning struck from heaven again. So he's saying, oh, maybe the God of this church does not want this church to be touched. So he went to his boss and reported that. And they had another plan. Let's just paint that name SDA. So they built scaffolding. You know what a scaffolding is? Yeah, they build this. You see that contraption on the side of the houses? When they're trying to paint it or repair it, it's made of steel. But in Asia, it's made of bamboos. So they built a very sturdy scaffolding, and the guy went up with his paint bucket and his paintbrush. Before he could strike the first paint, the scaffolding broke. He fell and he broke his limbs. And they're thinking, oh, the God of this church is angry. They don't want their name to be touched. And you know, they said, let's do it the natural way. So they planted coconut trees. You see, there's a lot of coconut trees. So they planted coconut trees, and the coconut trees grew together. It's a nice place to plant in Malaysia. So the coconut trees grew together. But the moment this particular coconut tree reached the bottom of that name SDA, the moment it reached the bottom, the coconut tree died. And now they begin to realize that the God of this church is a powerful God. Can you say amen?
Amen?
And even when they built the signage, then they built the signage. Can you see? It's on this side. On that side. Not to cover the church, because they don't want to mess with the church of the Seventh-day Adventist. Don't we serve a faithful God?
Amen.
And God has promised in Psalms 84 verse 11 that the Lord will be our sun and our shield. Isn't that amazing? Okay, so I hope that you have learned from our story this morning. You know for a fact that the God that you serve is what? A powerful God, and a God that loves you, and a God that could protect each one of you. Let's pray. Let's bow our heads. Dear God in heaven, Lord, I pray that Each and every child that is bowed before you right now will know how powerful you are, that with you all things are possible. And Lord, I pray that you please pour your Holy Spirit upon each and every child and each and every family, O Lord, that is here. May each and everyone will grow to be like Jesus. We ask this in the name of Jesus. Amen. Happy Sabbath, kids. You could go back to your parents now.
Now time for prayer. If you have a blue card you'd like to bring forward at this time, you can, or you can come up and join us for prayer.
All my cares upon you I lay, all of my burdens down at your feet. And any time
our Father, we thank you so much for this opportunity to come before you. We thank you for the love you have for us that allows us to come before your throne, to praise you for the things that you've done in our lives, to see how you've led all through our lives, and to remember those things as we go forward. We pray, Lord, that you would be with each of us, you would help us each to learn what you would have us to learn today. We pray for the speaker, Jim, that you would be with him and help him to have your words. And we pray that you would be with those that are suffering, those that are ill, those that are have a loss of in their family or other things. Lord, we pray that you would comfort each of them and be with them. Lord, we pray for the requests on these cards and the silent requests that we all have, that you would be with each of those requests, that you would answer them in the wisest way. For we leave it in your hands, Lord, to do the very best that we would do if we knew all that you knew. We thank you, Lord, and we come in the name of Jesus. Amen.
Good morning, church. Happy Sabbath. Thanksgiving. Thanksgiving has to be one of the most beautiful holidays observed in North America and in a few other places in the world. Unshackled from the blatant commercialism that accompanies Christmas, but sometimes obscured by a focus on feasting and gluttony, it seems to retain a certain reverence and spirituality that is most appealing. In a very real sense, every day should be Thanksgiving. And it can be if we take time to reflect on the manifold blessings that God has given us in the past and continues to give us. Ellen White gave us this counsel. Now a season is coming when we shall have our principles tested. Let us begin to think what we can do for God's needy ones. We can make them, through ourselves, the recipients of God's blessings. Think, what widow What orphan, what poor family can you relieve? Not in a way to make a great parade about the matter, but be as a channel through which the Lord's substance shall flow as a blessing to his poor. But this does not embrace all your duty. Make an offering to your best friend Jesus. Acknowledge his bounties. Show your gratitude for his favors and bring a thank offering to God. Brethren and sisters, she counsels us to eat a plain dinner on Thanksgiving and with money you would spend in extras with which to indulge the appetite, make a thank offering to God. That's from Adventist Home. The deacons will now serve you. Bow our heads. Our Father, help us to be truly thankful for all you give us, not only at Thanksgiving, but every day. And help us, Lord, to hear and follow Ellen White's counsel regarding Isaiah 58. We thank you, and we come in Jesus' name. Amen.
Good morning and happy Sabbath. Today's scripture reading is found in Ephesians 3, verse 20. And it says, "Now unto him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us."
Thank you. Happy Sabbath again. Happy Sabbath again. Now I know that everyone is awake. God is good, amen? I'm so glad that I'm back here. I could not even imagine that I'll be back here right now because I'm not supposed to be in the U.S. in November. But God is the one, as for those of you who were here, the last time that I came and shared a little bit of my testimony, you know, the one that is leading my life is God. And before I continue with what the Lord had prepared this morning, I'd like to request those who are able to kneel down to please kneel down with me for a word of prayer. Our great God, our dear loving Heavenly Father, Lord, we give you praise and we give you thanks, for you are the God of gods, the King of kings, and the Lord of lords. And Lord, we praise and we thank you that through that song we are reminded that you are coming soon. And Lord, I praise and I thank you that you have a people here who is waiting and watching for your coming. Lord, I pray in a very special way right now that you please hide me behind the shadow of your cross. It will not be my words, it will not be me that will be seen or be heard, but Jesus and Jesus alone be seen, be heard, be lifted up and exalted. Dear Father, I ask that you please teach us, Lord, how to lift you up higher than we have lifted you up before. And Lord, I ask that you please pour upon us a full measure of your Spirit. Lord, we need a Holy Spirit. Convict us, O Lord, and may the words that will be spoken will pierce our hearts, because these are not mine, these are yours, O Lord. May Jesus be seen, may Jesus be heard, and Jesus be lifted up. This is our prayer. This we ask in the loving name of your Son, Jesus, all your children say. Amen. Amen. So this morning, I'd like to share a testimony. This I will not say that this is my testimony, but this is the testimony of God's faithfulness. Because most of the time, we forget how God has been faithful to us. And praise God, there's thanksgiving. In thanksgiving, we remember the things that we need to be thankful for. But it's a very good reminder by a sister a while ago that thanksgiving should not just be once a year. It should be every day of our lives. Amen? God deserves our praises. God deserves our thanksgiving. And as for those of you who were here last Wednesday, you begin to realize that the more you praise and thank God, the more your faith grows. The more your heart longs for the goodness of God. And this is one thing that I learned. The praises and thanksgiving is not for God. God is not somebody who has a huge ego that needs to be stroked. The thanksgiving and praises are for us. So this morning, may the Lord remind each one of us how He has been faithful in our lives. So, when people ask me, "So Jem, what's your work?" And when I tell them I'm a missionary, the next question that they ask is, "So where is your mission field?" And I tell them, you know what, that's quite a complicated question for me to answer because I don't have a permanent mission field. They tell me, "What? You're a missionary and you don't have a mission field." So I have a mission field, but it's not permanent. So tell me, how does that work? And I tell them, if the Lord, when I'm in the Philippines, when I'm in Asia, the Lord brings me to one country after another almost every month. And when I'm in the U.S., the Lord brings me to one state after another almost every week. And they tell me, "Wow, that is quite an expensive lifestyle." And I said, "Yes, I have a very rich father." Amen? All of us have a very rich father. And then the next question that they ask me, "So tell me, who is your sponsor?" And I tell them, God is my sponsor. Yeah, we know God is your sponsor, but tell me who really is your sponsor. And I tell them, God is my sponsor. And friends, you know what? I was inspired also by a testimony. And this is the reason why I'm excited to share my testimony. Because before, I was one of the pew warmers. I want to warm the pews in the church. And back in the Philippines, you don't need pew warmers. The pews are already warm. And when I listen to testimonies, sometimes I'm thinking, oh, they're just making it up. That's all exaggeration. That's not real. They just want me to go to the mission field. I don't want that. I don't want to suffer. And then you know what, friends? This particular testimony really spoke to my heart. And I love the word in Romans. It says, faith cometh by what? Hearing. And when we focus ourselves to the things that God has done, our faith begins to what? To grow. So my faith grew in this testimony. And this pastor shared not even his testimony, but the testimony of George Mueller. Who among you here knows the name George Mueller? There are a few people here. For those of you who do not know the name George Mueller lived in a time where almost nobody believed that there is a God who hears and answers prayer. So you know what he decided? He decided to prove to people that there is a God who hears and answers prayer. And he has an orphanage. And aside from orphanages, he has a lot of ministries. So he decided, George Mueller decided not to receive a salary. He decided not to receive a stipend, any compensation. He wants to depend fully on the Lord. And whenever he needs something, you know what he does? He bends his knees. And when the answer comes, it is just a proof that there is a God who hears and answers prayer. So that's what his decision was. And every time he needed something, the Lord comes through. Because God is faithful. Can you say amen? Amen. So the Lord always comes through. And make long story short, I'll not dwell so much on George Mueller. But when George Mueller passed away, they had a tally of everything that the Lord has answered. Because every answer to his prayer, he jots it down in his journal. No matter how small it is, no matter how big it is. When he passed away, George Mueller accumulated answers to prayer in amount of dollars, $7,250,000. Not pesos, not rupiah, but US dollars. The first thing that I said when I heard that message was not amen, but wow. Can we say it all together? Wow. Friends, you know what? It's even a bigger wow. Because when I found out about the date, it's in the 1800s. So when you convert that dollars now, it will amount to more than 100 million US dollars. My jaw just dropped to the ground. I'm thinking, Lord, when I look back in my life, I've seen that my accomplishments are the things that just a result of what I have done, not what the Lord has done. And there is this guy who did not even receive any salary, who did not even receive any stipend, and has fed a lot of orphans, has put up a lot of properties, all because he took God at his word. All because he relied so much on the God that he knows that God is a faithful God. Can you say amen? And friends, I said to the Lord, okay, Lord, if you want me to be missionary, then I will not receive any salary, any stipend. Friends, for the past 8 years and 1 month, I have not received a single salary. I have not received a single stipend. And the Lord has been bringing me from one country after another, 19 countries now. And I've been to the U.S. more than 12 times. Isn't God faithful? And when people ask me, so Jim, how does that really work? How are you able to go when you don't have money? And I said, I come to the Lord and I ask the Lord, Lord, if you want me to go on this mission trip, then you have to provide. And friends, it's not because that I'm really strong, I'm really courageous. Friends, I'm a little scared Filipino. And every time there is an opportunity, my knees begin to shake. And I said, Lord, what is happening? And friends, this is one thing that I've learned. When your knees begin to shake, you know what that means? You have to fold them. You have to fold them. So I pray and I said, Lord, if you want me to go on this mission trip, then you have to provide. And sometimes a few hours later or a few days later, I will receive a phone call, and the phone call will go like this. Jem, are you going somewhere else? And this is a long-distance call. Mostly it's a long-distance call. I said, yes. How did you know? It's quite creepy, isn't it? You did not tell anyone, and there's someone called you long distance and asked you if you're going somewhere. And I tell them, yes, how did you know? And then this person said, I was fast asleep last night, and the Lord woke me up, and I could not go back to bed until I resolved to give you a call the next morning. So where are you going? And I tell them, to Indonesia or to Malaysia. And this person on the other end of the line will say, okay, consider your tickets bought. Friends, this did not happen only once. This has been happening for the past 8 years of my life. Because when we take God at His word, the Lord will show us that He is faithful. Can you say amen? Amen. Friends, we have not been taking God seriously. But the moment we do, the moment we take God seriously, God will show us that He is God. Sometimes we treat Him as our pal, as our buddy. Friends, yes, God wants to be friend with us, but we should not forget that He is a powerful God. He owns the cattle in 1,000 hills. And He owns the hills as well. Amen? So sometimes we move like we are scared to move in the cause of God. My dear friends, let's move forward. So, forgive me of my enthusiasm. Now, I will not ask for forgiveness for that. Amen? God is good. So, let me move forward. A friend asked me, so Jem, until when do you plan to be a missionary? And during that time, all the while I thought that this was just a series of mission trips. And then I told my friend, well, that's a good question. I'm not prepared to answer that. And looking back, friends, looking back on the life that I lived before, I was a photographer. I had my own business. And yes, I was a wedding photographer. Always the photographer, never the groom. Yes, I'm single, but not advertising. So let me be straight with that. Praise the Lord. Amen. And when I look back on the life of being a photographer and doing the mission work, just a foretaste of that the Lord has showed me for that year. And I'm thinking, oh Lord, I don't want to go back to that life. This is more amazing. In Psalms it says, oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. Amen? Every time I go back to the church, to my church, I preach the word and I say, God is good. Amen. And one lady came to me and said, Jem, you should not be saying that God is good. And all the while I was afraid that I said something. I said, is there something wrong with God is good? Said, no, God is not just good. God is great. Amen. So this is one thing that we'll experience. The more we walk with God, the more we'll begin to realize that He is not just good. God is awesome. God is wonderful. So I told my friend, that's a very good point that you said there. But you know what? I don't want to go back to that life. And if the Lord wants me to be a missionary for the rest of my life, then praise God, I would love to do this. And then my friend told me, Jem, you know, you didn't have a background on theology. By the way, I'm a business graduate. So she told me, at least have an evangelism training. And then I asked her, so what's your suggestion? She said, apply an Amazing Facts. Among you here knows what's Amazing Facts is. Okay, you know what's Amazing Facts. And then, you know what? Amazing Facts opened in the Philippines during that year. You know where? In front of our house. It's just like, I'm here, and then there's your little school back there, that's the center of Amazing Facts. Dr. Joel went there. And then my friend asked me, so Jem, you're thinking about applying an Amazing Facts in the Philippines? I said, of course, it's just in front of our house. I said, no. Apply an Amazing Facts in the U.S. And I told her, sister, that's quite impractical. And she said, why? I said, why? Amazing Facts is there. I don't have to have a plane ticket to go. And another thing is, the most important thing is, I don't have the U.S. visa. And then she told me, then apply for one. He told his sister, it's easy for you to say you are not a Filipino. Applying for a U.S. visa for a Filipino is like winning a lottery. And for Filipinos like me who does not have any work, does not have any salary, it's just like entering heaven. And then she told me, Jen, you have been living by faith for the past year or 2 years. Go by faith now. And I told her, okay, let's go by faith. I said those words, but my dear friends, faith was not there. Do you catch yourself sometimes? Are you memorizing all those verses? Like, with God, all things are possible, but at the back of your mind, you're saying, really? Or sometimes you're singing the song, I surrender all. Aren't we the biggest hypocrites, friends? We are. And I was the chief. I professed to my friends and my family that I have been living by faith for the past 2 years. And now faith is needed and faith is one thing that I don't have. So friends, I moved forward and I said to the Lord, Lord, if you want me to go, then you have to provide for the interview fee. Interview fee, friends, it will cost you $160. For a person who does not have any salary, that's a fortune. So I said, Lord, if you want me to go, then you have to provide. And the Lord provided not just $160. The Lord provided more than $200. And I did not say amen. I did not say amen. You know what I said? Oh Lord, this will just go to waste. You know why? Because a year before that, a friend of mine invited me to go to New Zealand. That was not Brother Stephen. I have not met Stephen during that time. And a friend of mine impulsively invited me to go to New Zealand. So I impulsively applied for a visa. I got impulsively denied. And that rejection somehow kept on haunting me. And I'm thinking, that was New Zealand. A lot of Filipinos are in New Zealand. U.S. visa is even harder. What chance do I get? So friends, I was having no faith at all. But the Lord provided the amount. So I have to follow through. So I paid the U.S. visa fee interview and I got my schedule. The moment I paid that amount, friends, there's something that happened. I could not sleep. I could not sleep. Friends, I sleep all the time. I even sleep in sermons. And I hope you'll be awake during this time. I sleep all the time. I don't have problems sleeping. And even in the airplane, before the fasten seatbelt sign is off, I'm already out. And I thank God that I'm a small Filipino because every time I ride a plane, I have a lot of leg room. It's first class accommodation, every accommodation. And when my American friends ride me be like 6'3", I will look at them and say, it's hard, huh? I praise God. So I don't have any problem sleeping. Even in trains, back in the Philippines, our trains are packed. Our LRT, light rail transit. If you have a bag, you don't even have to hold your bag. But I suggest you hold it. You have to hold your bag. It stays there. That's how packed. You could not fall to the ground. It's a lot of people. And we were traveling this 45-minute train ride. My friend and I were traveling. He told me later on when we got off, Jim, you were sleeping all the way. I was sleeping standing up. People were going in and out of the train. I was just like... Then I discovered I have the gift of public sleeping. But that night, it left me. I could not go back. I could not sleep. Every time I've closed my eyes, every time I dream, my dream is about the visa fee interview. And I always get denied, denied, denied. I will wake up in the middle of the night. And on the fourth, on the fifth or sixth or seventh night, friends, I was having sleepless nights. And for me, friends, when I lose sleep, I lose weight. And I'm not the kind of person that has the right to lose more weight. And on the seventh or sixth night, I remember that I forgot something. I forgot to pray. Friends, you know what ministry I am in right now? I'm in a prayer ministry. And I forgot to pray. And now I begin to realize the Lord put me in the prayer ministry not because I'm the most effective prayer leader. The Lord put me in the prayer ministry because I needed prayer. Friends, sometimes we think that we are place in the ministry because we are a blessing to the ministry. Friends, it's the other way around. The ministry is a blessing to us. Can you say amen? Can you say a convincing amen? Amen. Praise the Lord. Amen. So, I remember to pray and I was crying before God. The first word that comes out of my mouth because I was so helpless. And I was crying before God, Lord, I don't know what to do. You know what, friends? That's the best prayer that we can pray. We don't know what to do. Most of the time, we don't desperately ask the Lord because we seem to know what we're doing. That's why we don't ask for direction. When you know what you're supposed to do, sometimes you don't need God. But when you are in a desperate position, friends, that's a blessing. Your prayers begin to be sincere. Your prayers begin to be desperate. So I was desperately crying upon the Lord. Lord, please help me. What to do? What am I supposed to do? And the Lord somehow gave me this verse, Psalm 46 verse 10, be still and know that I am God. Amen? And when my heart was still enough, the Lord somehow spoke to my heart, open your passport. And when I opened my passport, for the past 2 years that the Lord has brought me around, my passport was already halfway stamped. And when I look at the passport, just imagine all the countries that the Lord has brought me around. And the Lord spoke to my heart, who provided for those trips? And I said, Lord, I'm sorry, it was all you. And then I told God, okay, Lord, I give this to you. I surrender this to you. The moment I prayed that prayer, friends, I slept like a baby. Isn't God amazing? We are most of the time carrying the burdens that were not supposed to be in our shoulders. And the Lord reminded me, it was not you, Jem, who took care of those things. It was all me. The moment I realized that, my dear friends, I am just like a child resting in his father's arms. So fast forward, now it was my time for the interview. I went, I wore my long sleeves, I wore my tie. I did not wear my jacket. You'll die in the Philippines if you wear your jacket. It's too hot there. And now I sat down, waiting for my name, for my number to be called. The moment I sat down, friends, I could not breathe. My heart was pounding so hard and so loud. And all my insides are trying to come out. I did not realize what was happening. Later on, I found out that I was having panic attack. Friends, that's not a very good experience. That's my first experience of panic attack. And I was just like panicking. Lord, I don't know what to do. And I'm imagining I should not be in this condition during the interview. Like, just imagine yourself being asked, what's your name? My name is Jem Castro. And then you fall to the ground. That's not a good picture. So I said, Lord, please help me. And I was looking for a place to pray. I needed a place to pray. But the embassy was fully packed. And I was thinking, Lord, where? And the Lord somehow spoke to my heart, go to the bathroom. I went to the bathroom, friends. And praise God, the U.S. embassy bathroom is clean. I closed the toilet lid, knelt down and prayed, Lord, I needed that peace that you have given in me during that night when I was desperately asking for you. This is one thing I learned, friends. That when we come before God, when we seek Him with all of our hearts, any place on this earth will be transformed into a prayer room. Can you say amen? And the Lord heard my prayers. I had so much peace. I came out of that. I was smiling. And now, time for the interview. When my name was called, when my number was called, I came forward. And the first question that was asked, Mr. Castor, said, yes, sir. Said, how much is your monthly income? I said, I'm dead. I did not say I'm dead in front of him. I was just saying it at the back of my mind. The first question was right away, monthly income. Let me remind you how much income that I have. Zero. And then I told him, because the Lord convicted me, be honest, you're a missionary, you're not supposed to lie. I said, I'm sorry, sir, but I don't have a monthly income. I said, why is that? I'm a missionary volunteer, sir, so I don't get paid for my work. I said, then how do you live? I live by faith, sir. Which is true. And then he said, I live by faith too, but tell me, how do you really live? How do you buy your food? How do you buy your clothes? And I said, the Lord provides, sir. And then he said, He opened my passport, by the way. And friends, the only document that I brought was my passport. He opened my passport and he saw that my passport was halfway stamped. He said, if you're not paid for your work, how come you travel so much? And I said, sir, I'm in the prayer ministry and I pray to the Lord and the Lord uses other people to pay for my fare. He said, okay, but how about hotel? How about food? How do you survive outside of the Philippines? Because it's not cheap to travel outside of the Philippines. How do you survive? I said, sir, I live in the homes of those people who invites me and then they feed me. Which is true. Pastor and Mrs. Jean has been feeding me well. And my friends, amen? Okay. So, and then he was running out of questions. And then he asked me this question. How about emergencies? Do you encounter emergencies? And I said, sir, emergencies are unavoidable. I said, so how are you able to pay for emergencies? And he said, sir, the Lord is faithful that the Lord provides the right amount of money for the right amount of emergencies. And then he asked me, so you receive money for emergencies, huh? I said, yes, sir, the Lord is faithful. And he yelled at me, then you just lied to me. I said, how come, sir? I said, because a while ago you're telling me that you don't receive any amount of money for your work. And now you're telling me that you receive money for emergencies. You just lied to me. Friends, that's a difficult question to answer, isn't it? You're just like trapped. And I know for a fact, remember my condition before my panic attack? Huh? I would not have been able to survive that. I could not imagine myself staring in front of the guy after asking that question. I would just have said, and then fall to the ground and die. Seriously, friends, I could not have answered anything. But God is so good that even before he finished asking the question, the Lord gave me the answer. And the answer came, sir, a while ago you're asking for a regular monthly income, but emergencies, sir, are not regular. That's a smart answer, isn't it? Friends, I'm not that smart. True story. I could not have come up with that answer. And this is one amazing thing. When those answers came out and I realized how smart that is, at the back of my mind, I was having this expression like, my dear friends, this is what happens to us when we see God working in our lives. Amen? We have to have those moments if we let God direct our lives. If we take God's word seriously, we will have those moments. Those are the moments that God wants to show to each one of us. To let you know that it's not because of your preparation. It's not because of your intellect. It's not because of your education. It's not because of your experience. It's all because of Him. Amen? So, after saying those statements, I could still see that there's a great controversy battle going on the face of that consul. So I told him, sir, I have been telling you the truth from the very beginning. I don't want to give you a salary range that I don't earn. I don't want to give you a bank account that I don't have. Sir, I've been living by faith for the past 2 years. I don't have a bank account. I don't have a salary. And then he gave me a big sigh. A long look and a loud sigh like, then tell me, how should I fill in this question? Monthly income. Friends, we're still stuck in question number one. And then I told him, sir, honestly speaking, I don't know. Then he gave me another big sigh. I said, okay, monthly income. And then he typed in, monthly income. Not applicable. He asked me more questions. And then a few more questions. And they told me, congratulations, your application has been approved. Amen. I did not say amen. I did said, what? Friends, because I did not even imagine that I will get approved. I went there even thinking that, Lord, I'll show you. You will just lose your money here. I was trying to advise God how to manage his money. You lose your money here. This will just go to waste. And even with that thinking, the Lord still gave me the visa. Friends, it's not because of our goodness. It's not because that there's something good in us. It's because that we serve a good God. Amen. We serve a faithful God. We serve an amazing God. So when those words came out from his mouth, I could not believe it. He has to repeat it again. He told me, your visa will be mailed to you in 5 working days. I walked out of that visa interview and I was crying. I called my sister back in my hometown, which is an hour plane right away. And my sister was crying on the other line. She told me, Jem, it is really God's will for you to go. And I know it was God's will because before I even stood up for the interview, there was this conviction, and I know it was the Holy Spirit. The conviction came. When you get your visa approved, it's not because of who you are, because you are a nobody. It's not because of what you have, because you have nothing. It will only be because of the goodness of your God. Friends, don't we serve a faithful God? Your amen is so weak. Don't we serve a faithful God? Amen, friends. We have an amazing God. And this quote, friends, really spoke to my heart. I love this powerful quote, God's Amazing Grace, page 319, paragraph 3, which says, men can accomplish nothing without God. How much can we accomplish? How much? Can you say it with more gusto? You know why I made you repeat that again and again? That's a powerful quote. That's a beautiful quote. But we don't really fully believe that quote. That's a nice quote. But I'm not really convinced with that quote. Another friend of mine told me, you know what, Jem, you had a beautiful testimony. But there's one thing I don't want to agree. And I said, what's that? That line when you said, without God we are nothing. I said, why? And he told me, because I left the church for more than 30 plus years. And even when I left the church, I was performing so well in my business. I was appointed the chief of this. I accomplished this. I accomplished that. So that statement is not true. And then I'm thinking, wow, that's a hard argument. And the Lord gave me this thought. Remember Nebuchadnezzar? Remember Nebuchadnezzar, the king, the wise king. And when the Lord removed his finger, his reason, Nebuchadnezzar roamed around his kingdom like a beast for 7 years. And I told my friend, you know what, friend? The reason why you were able to perform all those things, it's only because of the goodness of God. It's only because of the faithfulness of God. Because if God removed his finger from your life, you would have been like Nebuchadnezzar. We don't deserve the goodness that God is giving us, friends. We don't deserve God's faithfulness. And even though we don't pay attention to Him, He pays so much attention to us. Isn't He a faithful God? Yes. So, when I went back home, my sister-in-law, she's Japanese. She's the one who's always worried about me. So she asked me this question. So, Jem, when are you going to the U.S.? Do you have a ticket? And I said to her, I don't have a ticket yet. I said, then how are you going to go? Friends, I got the visa approved January 10. Amazing Facts begins January 24. And when I went back home, it was less than a week before Amazing Facts begins. And she asked me that question and I was just thinking, I've been dreading to think about that. She said, then how are you going to go? And I said to her, with knees shaking, it's the Lord's problem, not mine. And friends, that afternoon, when I went to our conference office, I received a long-distance call. And the call went something like this. Jem, I saw on Facebook that you got your visa approved. When are you going to the U.S.? And I told the person, I don't know yet. And then he said, what do you mean you don't know yet? Do you even have a ticket? I said, no, I don't have a ticket yet. I said, and how are you going to go? And this time I was about to cry. It's the Lord's problem, not mine. And the person said on the other end, that's why the Lord has been bothering me. I'll pay for your fare. Friends, this is January. And this is the peak of travel in the Philippines. And I'll be staying in the U.S. for nearly 5 months. And when I got the ticket, when I got the e-ticket in my email, it cost $2,700. All it was answered in just one phone call. Don't we serve a powerful God, friends? Don't we serve a faithful God? I went back home. My sister-in-law said, God really exists. And one by one, my needs were being met. And another friend, oh, by the way, my sister, that was my sister-in-law. I have two sisters. My sister asked me, said, so Jem, do you have pocket money? And I said, mm-hmm. And she did not ask how much. Can you guess how much money I have in my pocket? Huh? $5? $2? Sister, I'm poor, but I'm not that poor. Actually, you know what? I only have 50 pesos in my pocket. That was less than $1. And I was asked by another person, Kuya Jem or Brother Jem, can you visit us in our home? That's an hour boat right away. And I have to purchase a ticket for like $10 to go there. And I told this person, no, I can't. I said, why can't you? I said, I just can't. No, give us a better reason than that. I just can't. And she kept on forcing me. Remember, my deal with God is not to ask, not to borrow. And then I was forced to say, I don't have money. And then this person said, borrow money from your sister and then we'll pay you back. And I was trying to argue with God. Lord, this is not a vacation. This is mission. So I was planning to go and break my deal with God. I was going to go to my sister and ask money. But before I could even get out of the house, one person came running inside the house and said, oh, Jim, I finally caught up with you. There's a little something here for your trip. And this person gave me an envelope. And this person gave me a hug, went back to my room. When I opened the envelope, friends, inside was $250. Isn't God amazing? I just broke down and I was thinking, God is a faithful God, that even I was planning to somehow divert from our agreement. God was so faithful that He did not want me to go that way. He provided for my needs. Friends, God deserves our attention. Amen. And one by one, the Lord just provided for my needs. One person gave me $100. Another person gave me 500 pesos. That's like $10. Another person gave me 2 boxes of Dove winter soap. And I'm thinking, Lord, you're even concerned of my dry skin. And one person gave me a lip balm. And I'm thinking, Lord, you're even concerned of my dry lips. God is just so faithful that even before we realize our need, He provides for it. Philippians 4 verse 19, and my God shall supply some of your needs. What? Praise the Lord, you're listening. It's all. Even those things that you don't realize that you need, God is so faithful that He foresees that you will be needing them. And He provides that. And it is a proof to us that the God that we serve is a faithful God. Amen? So, I went to Amazing Facts. And by the way, friends, Amazing Facts, our tuition fee is $4,500. And I only had like $200+ left because I bought some stuff. I paid some taxes. Went to the Amazing Facts office. When I paid the $125, the $125 is like the insurance bond. When I paid that, the teacher asked me, Jem, can I talk to you in my office? And I said, okay. And then when we sat down, he asked me, Jem, I don't want to push you or anything. I don't want to pressure you. I just want to know, when are you going to pay for the remaining balance? Friends, my balance is $4,375. And I told him, sir, honestly speaking, I don't know. But what I know is, God gave me the ticket that I'm not supposed to have. God, at the last minute, God gave me the visa. It's a miracle, for now I know that God wants me to be here. But I don't know when, I don't know how, but I know God will pay for that amount. And I said, okay, fair enough. Then I'll give you the last due date for payment after the third month. And not after, on the third month. This is a 4-month training. So, and then he told me, oh, by the way, Jem, I just want to let you know that food is not included in the tuition fee. And I said, okay, sir, so how much should I budget for food? And then he asked me, is this a tight budget? And then I looked him straight in the eye and told him, very, very, very tight budget, sir. And then he gave me a a background of Sacramento. Yeah, Jem, you know what? Sacramento is the capital of California. And you are living in Rockland. That's the first batch that came from Weimar, and now we live in Rockland. And you are living in Rockland. Rockland is one of the most expensive places to live here. So budget, if you don't know how to cook, if you're eating out most of the time, budget around $120 to $140. And then I asked, per month, sir? No, per week. Friends, my jaw just dropped. And I'm thinking, how am I going to survive? My money inside my pocket was just like $110. And when I got out of that, office, of that interview, I'm thinking, how am I going to survive, Lord, for the next 4 months when my budget is not even enough for a week? The Lord reminded me, who gave you the visa? Who gave you the passport? Who gave you Dove winter soap? Who gave you the lip balm? Friends, most of the time we forget. Most of the time we forget. We forget the goodness and the faithfulness of God. So I went in, and my first grocery shopping, a friend of mine, one classmate, they have Costco membership. So we went to Costco, and as a Filipino, I bring my calculator and try to convert the currency into Filipino peso. And friends, it was too expensive. And I'm thinking, I was even tempted to kneel down the aisle and say, Lord, please rain down manna from heaven. And the Lord is just so faithful. Every time that I needed something, the Lord provided. One person will see me on Facebook, Jem, you are here in Sacramento. I'm only a couple of hours away. Let me come and visit you next week. And next week they come. And I said, Jem, we're here. Let's go. Let's have dinner. Thank you, Lord. Free food. I'll go out with them. Have wonderful dinner in the restaurant. And then afterwards they bring me to go grocery shopping. And I'll have plastic bags of groceries when I go back to my apartment. And my apartment mates will tell me, where did you get that? I said, from the Lord. Which is true. Amen. God is the one who provides. He's a faithful God. And office in Amazing Facts, one person will ask me to enter one door and then I'll exit another door and I'll be bringing plastic bags. And where did you get that again? From the Lord again. I said, are you doing something illegal? I said, no, this is from the Lord. God is good, friends. Amen. And one by one, almost every week, I will receive checks in the mail. Like, $50, $100. There's even one time, there's $500 anonymous donor. And I remember every time I receive something in my hands, I give back my tithes. My father always taught us, Jem, do not play around with the Lord's money. Do not think that you could borrow this and repay it later on. This is sacred money. But friends, I know that when everything is so tight, the tight money looks so attractive. You agree? I have the argument with $20 bills. Stop staring at me. And I begin to realize that I'm coveting the Lord's money. That's not mine, that's His. And I was praying, Lord, please help me, teach me, change this heart. Help me to not to covet your sacred money. And this is the prayer that God is waiting for us to pray. And the Lord made me understand, it's not just the 10% that He owns. It's the whole 100%. Can you say amen? And when I look back on what the Lord has done, I begin to realize that 10% is not even enough for the gratitude that we should give back to Him. So you know what? I was inspired to give another 10%. Friends, remember, I was struggling with the 10%. Now I'm giving back another 10%. But this time, I was giving with a different spirit. With a cheerful spirit. What does the Bible say about the cheerful giver? God loveth a cheerful giver. So I was just like excited giving it to the Lord. And this is one thing I've learned, friends. That when we give to the Lord, it's like shoveling to the Lord's side. The Lord shovels back to you. The Lord doesn't want to lose in this contest, friends. And you could never win because the Lord has a bigger shovel and the Lord shovels faster. And my friend said, Jem, the Lord does not use a shovel. I said, what does the Lord use then? A tractor. Friends, the shovel could not compete with a tractor. Can you say amen? And there's even one time Our last month for the training, there's not a medical missionary, it's an evangelistic series. And some of our attendees, some of our Bible interests could not go because they don't have gas money. So a friend of mine passed the hat around to contribute for their gas money. And I realized, Lord, I have this second tithe. Can I use this? And I prayed and I asked the pastor, Pastor, can I use the second tithe for these people? And then he said, you know what, Jim, as long as you don't tithe the first tithe, as long as you don't touch the first tithe. And I said, okay. So I started giving. This little poor Filipino is now giving money to the Americans. And now, you know what? At the end of that, I tallied what I have, how much I had given. I have given away $318 plus. And I'm thinking, I am the richest student here. God is good. Not because that I'm rich, but I have a rich father. Amen. And friends, that is just the 10% of what the Lord has given. Isn't that amazing? Can you remind me how much money I had in my pocket before I flew out of the Philippines? 50 pesos, which is less than a dollar. And now I'm giving away $380. Does that make sense? Friends, God's mathematics could not be explained in this earth. The only explanation is abide in Him. Follow Him, and He will show you that He is God. Amen? There is this beautiful quote from Ministry of Healing that says, our Heavenly Father has 1,000 ways to provide for us of which we know nothing. Can you say amen? Amen. How many ways? 1,000 ways. If we have 500 ways, how many ways are there left for the Lord? 500? Simple mathematics, isn't it? But it's no. It's not. Because listen to the quote. Our Heavenly Father has 1,000 ways to provide for us of which we know nothing. Did you get that? If you have 500 ways, those are your ways. The ways that are promised here is 1,000 ways that you don't know anything about. God is so amazing, friends. So, I was enjoying my walk with God. I was receiving so much blessing. I was receiving so many beautiful experiences. We're about to end here, I promise. And one particular time, I begin to realize that I was not really fully depending on the Lord. I was focused so much on the blessing that I forget the blesser. We could easily lose sight of God in times of plenty, isn't it? But in times of need, we remember Him. In times of plenty, it's easy for us to let go of God. And the Lord gave me that nudge. When I realized I'm already 2 weeks past my account, and I was reminded that I had like $2,000+ balance. And I'm thinking, Lord, how am I gonna pay this? And it did not take me that long. I began kneeling down in my bed. I said, Lord, please help me out. And that particular night, I was so shaken because the previous days, my friends came out of the office, the registrar's office, said, I'm free. I'm paid in full. And I'm thinking, Lord, how about me? So that particular night, I was crying before God. I was weeping before God. I'm thinking, Lord, how can I pay this? My sponsors, these people whom you have touched, stop giving. How am I going to be able to pay this? That's $2,000. And I was complaining before God. I was trying to teach God what to do. And friends, again, that verse came to mind. Be still and know that I am God. Friends, we are not the one in charge. God is the one in charge. Amen? And it pays to be still before Him. So the moment I stood still before God, I was kneeling still before Him, He gave me this thought. Jem, who has been the one taking care of you for the past 3.5 months that you were here? And I said, Lord, I forgot. It was all you. The moment I recognized, the moment I acknowledged that, my dear friends, peace came over me. So I said to the Lord, Lord, I surrender this to you. I give this to you. This is yours. And I slept like a baby. And the next day, it was my time to go to the off. It was my time to be in the class. And the registrar came out. I said, Jen, can I talk to you in my office? Friends, that was the longest 30 steps of my life. It was like I'm about to be shot. I don't know what to say. I don't know how to explain to that person that I don't have money. And the moment I sat down, friends, it was just like the interview in that visa section again. The moment I sat down, I was just praying, Lord, where will I get the money to pay my balance? And then she said, Jem, I think you know the reason why I got you here. I asked you here in the office. I said, mm-hmm. So, you know that you're in trouble, huh? I said, mm-hmm. And then she lifted up the piece of paper. One whole sheet of paper. When I saw numbers, friends, I just looked to the ground. I know that that was my bill. That was my statement of account. I said, Jem, I want to talk to you about this. And I was not looking at her. I was not looking at the paper. I don't have the courage to look at the paper. And then she repeated again, Jem, I want to talk to you about this. Still, I was looking on the floor. So she stood up, went in front of me and said, Jem, I want to talk to you about this. She pointed at the bottom right of that paper. And there was this stamp, fully paid. Zero balance. Friends, the moment I saw that, my whole body began to shake. Tears just swelled up. Tears just flowed. I didn't even know where those tears are coming from. My whole body was shaking. And when she saw me crying, she came forward, picked me up, gave me a hug, and now both of us were weeping. I'm a very talkative person. I'm a leader when it comes to prayer, but this time, for the first time, I was speechless. And when I opened my mouth to pray, I don't even know how to pray. And the words that came out of my mouth were just, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. The moment I composed myself, friends, she told me the story. She said, Jem, yesterday before I closed the office, I received a phone call from one of the persons that knows you and asked for your entire balance and issued a whole amount of check. Friends, let me remind you what I was doing the night before. I was crying before God. I was complaining before God. I was directing God what to do. I was busy carrying the burdens on my shoulders, and I did not even realize that the God that I was praying to was busy answering my prayers. Don't we serve an amazing God, friends? And there was this beautiful Bible verse, Isaiah 65 verse 24, which says, and it shall come to pass that before they call, I will answer. And while they were yet speaking, I will hear. Friends, I asked the Lord, dear Lord, why didn't this experiences happen to me before? Why is just happening to me now? You know what's the Lord's answer? Because you did not need me before the way you're needing me now. You did not take my word seriously before the way you're taking my word seriously now. My dear friends, I'm sharing this testimony to you not just to brag about what God has done in my life. I'm sharing this testimony to you right now because I know that God can do this in your life. Amen? Because the God that I serve is the same God that you serve. We just have to pay in full attention to Him. And take Him at His word. As our choir sang a while ago, redemption draweth nigh, friends. We're not bound to live in Kansas. Even though it's comfortable, especially for those people who are not born here in the U.S., or like me, it's comfortable living here, but there's a place better than this. There's no taxes there. There's no bitter cold winter. Praise the Lord. Friends, God is preparing a better place for us. Don't get satisfied living in this world. There's more to life than this. And I tell you, friends, you can experience heaven even now. You don't have to wait for second coming. Heaven is a ceaseless approaching to Christ. Come to Him. And friends, look at this. You are already in the church. You are already in the Seventh-day Adventist church. Why not give it all? You're already here. Take Him seriously. You know what's the most devastating thing in the end? That when the Lord comes, that you will not be on the other side of the gate because you have not given all to Him. You know what's the biggest tragedy? To lose heaven because you only gave 99.99%. Friends, when we give our all to the Lord, it's not that we're losing all. We're just gaining. Before I close, I'd like to give you this invitation. Because this message will not be a full message unless there is a response. I know that God has been speaking to each and every heart here. And I know that this is between you and God. It's not between you and Pastor Dragut. It's not between you and the speaker right now. It's between you and God. And God wants your all. God wants everything in you. Because you know what? That's the only way to have Him. That's the only way to be ready for His coming. And if it is your desire to tell God right now, Lord, I don't know how to do this, but I want to give it all to You, and please help me every step of the way, oh Lord, I don't know how to do this. If that is your desire, I'd like to ask you to come forward, and I'd like to offer a word of prayer for you. Praise the Lord. I tell you, friends, there's nothing in this world that's worth losing heaven for. There's nothing in this world that could ever satisfy you. Only Jesus can. And Jesus will. Stop being satisfied with the little things that you're enjoying here. America is not a destination, friends. Heaven is. And you could experience heaven now. And my dear young people, the most enjoyable experience that you'll have is not partying outside. It's being in love with Jesus. I tell you, I don't have a girlfriend right now, but I'm so in love. You'll not lose when you give your heart to God. We have been losing now because we have not been giving it all. Friends, let's be wise. Let's be wise. Christ is coming soon. Let's not gamble in the world. Let's risk everything and give it all to Him, because this is the safest and most intelligent risk that you could ever take. Because this risk has an assured result. And sometimes I was thinking, Lord, I don't know what's going to happen if I give it all to You. I'm the kind of guy who loves fun. You could see it. I'm the kind of guy who would like to enjoy. How will I enjoy life if You take all? And friends, you know what? I realized that I was not really living life. But when I gave it all to Him, that's when I begin to see this is the life that God wants us to live. My dear friends, God has so much in store for us. Do not stop Him. Do not. God wants to give it all to us. And sometimes we're thinking that God is trying to hold back. But no, friends. We just have a misunderstanding of who our God is. If we want to buy some precious gift to someone, and we have searched far and wide to give that special person a special gift, when the time comes that that person is about to open the gift, who is more excited? The recipient or the giver? The giver. You could not wait to see the face of that person when he opens the gift. Just imagine, friends. That's the anticipation that God has for each and every one of you. He wants you to see the life that you could live if you live it all for the glory of God. As you're standing here, I'd like to sing our closing song, Great is Thy Faithfulness. And I guess our technical people could show that. And this is one thing I'd like to tell you, friends. Our God is a faithful God. And when you give it all to Him, a friend of mine, one of our speakers in Army Bible Camp, Sebastian Braxton, one of his line, my favorite line that he says, living your life for God is like a life of endless wonder. WONDER, wonder. Said, it's like you are like this 2-year-old kid that is being thrown up in the air. And you know the reaction of those 2-year-old kids when you throw them, what do they say? Again! Again! And this is one thing that the Lord wants you to experience. And this is what I'm experiencing right now. Before I could even say again, like, He do it again. He does it again. And again. And again. This is the life that God wants you to live. I'm not saying, this is not a prosperity gospel. Yes, you'll face trials, you'll face suffering, but I tell you, the joy surpasses the suffering. The joy surpasses the suffering. I'd like to give a few more minutes for those who want to come forward. Just bow your heads, friends. Come. God is speaking to you. God is speaking to each and every one of us. He doesn't want to leave one man behind. And friends, there's nothing worth losing heaven for. Give it all to Him. And now let's sing the song.